live from Liverpool, we need to talk about ghosts with Kevin Eustace.
Indeed, it is with Kevin Eustace. That's me. Welcome, everyone. It's Sunday. It is time for the Sunday sermon where we talk about ghosts. Yes, we do. We get scared and terrified. Now, quick disclaimer at the start of this episode is you may have heard on Friday when we've done the We Don't Need to Talk About Ghosts episode, I have put my back out. Now, that does have a knock-on into this show, unfortunately, because it does mean that I can't sit in a certain position for too long. So this is going to be a shorter episode, unfortunately, than we used to on a weekend, because my back will literally go into spasm. There's a high chance that it could go into spasm mid-show, which I think we can all agree would be highly entertaining for everyone involved, except for me. So it is going to be a bit shorter just so... Well, so I don't go into immense pain. And I think hopefully that'll be all right with everyone. Good news is that the new handheld recorder arrived in the post. And it's a beast. And it really is a beast. So it means that all of the off-site stuff that we do, such as We Don't Need to Talk About and stuff like that, the quality of them is going to go through the roof. Yes, like a balloon. Like up, except without a dead wife. It's going to be very good. So yesterday was Becca's birthday. And trying to do that birthday with a bad back was a challenge and a half. Now, you'd have to, obviously, when it's your partner's birthday, you have to put yourself out on a bit of a limb, don't you? So I couldn't exactly say, Becca, I need to stay in bed for the day on her birthday, you know, during lockdown. It's not the nicest thing to do. So I'd stupidly, lovely, don't get me wrong, it was a lovely thing to think, but I'd stupidly, in hindsight with a bad back, signed us up for an hour's kayaking. Now, you can imagine the absolute mess that that was with a bad back. Firstly, it took a good 20 minutes for me to get into the kayak. As soon as I was in the kayak, I realized that this was a mistake because, like I've just said, I can't sit in one position without a back spasm. I encountered approximately 3 back spasms going round the Arbid dock, which was horrible because you're obviously on the middle of a lake, so there's nowhere to go. And then I had to be helped out of the boat at the end. So yeah, needless to say, it wasn't the wisest decision. However, she did have a lovely birthday, so you know, pros and cons and all that. Yes, so today I need to sincerely look after me back, and tomorrow as well. So hopefully by Wednesday when we do a don't, I'll have been rested up and we can just have a good natter. We will still be doing a Patreon episode, but I'll be lying flat on my back today. So if Becca will be the birthday girl, or should I say the Boxing Day birthday girl, because that's what we celebrate in the UK on the day after Christmas. I'm not comparing it to Christ, of course, although she can walk on water. So after this episode, I'll be recording a Patreon episode with Becca, but I will be lying flat as a pancake. If you'd like to listen to that episode, we put out a lot of extra content through the week. You can go over to patreon.com/we need to talk about ghosts. Now, we've had a lovely person go and done that this week, and I'm going to thank them, as we do, via the medium of song. And I say this with unfounded confidence because I don't know whether the sitting position will send me into a spasm. Shall we all find out? Okay. The guitar's out. Ow. Maybe not for long. Okay, so this is for the wonderfully named Nancy Robinson, who's the only one to sign up this week. Sometimes it's a flood, sometimes it's a trickle, but either way, I love the water. If that makes sense. Anyway, this is like a continual lyric one, so let's see if I can keep the breathing up. So this is for Nancy Robinson. Thank you, Nancy.
Nancy Robinson has come and signed up to the Patreon, and I just want to say thank you by the medium of song. So I say thank you, Nancy Robinson, for signing faster up to Patreon, and I just want to say thank you for keeping the lights on, I say. I'll have to end it there because my back's about to go into spasm. Ow. Oh.
Thank you, Nancy. Not for the spasm, of course. That's not your fault. That's because I stupidly tried to put a shoe on. Yeah, how very dare I. Oh. And that's how my back went. But thank you, Nancy, and thank you to all of our Patreons, of course. Now, if you want to get extra content each week, it's normally me and Becca shooting the breeze, but on the weekend, we tend to try and do paranormal stuff. Go over to patreon.com/we need to talk about ghosts, and you can sign up there. It's very good, I think. What a lovely community, I seem to say. I just said it. What are you on about, Kevin? I don't know. Good point, Kevin. Anyway, should we get some spook on the go? Yes, we shall. Yeah, yes, I've just realised I didn't do Weak and Weird. Never mind. It's one of those days. Okay, so we remember last week we had an email in from Tony and he sent us in a load of ghost stories and I said, I'll be revisiting this email so we can tell more. Well, guess what? That's what's happening right now. I'm going to go into Tony's story right away. So forgive me if you hear any, that's me back. Okay, so this is Tony's second story. I moved to Ohio for university. The university I went to had bought a bunch of apartment buildings that surrounded the school and turned them into dorms. So I actually lived in a one-bedroom flat with, in brackets, officially three people, however more like four to six other humans at any given time. Once, when I was completely alone, I sat down on the couch to watch some Netflix and our Xbox came on automatically at movement being sensed by the Kinect. Instead of mapping just me, like it should have, it mapped out two people sitting on either side of me, in brackets, little stick drawings you can only see on the TV that trace your arms, legs, head and body. A lot of TV ghost hunters have started using this method on hunts. Zach Bagans did it for a while. Close brackets. I stood back up, shut everything off and left until I knew one of my roommates would be back. In the dorm, our bedroom door and bathroom door faced each other. So whilst laying in my bottom bunk, I looked into the mirror over the sink. I hated that mirror and refused to sleep with the doors open. Unfortunately, one of my roomies was an extraordinarily bad roommate and constantly left those doors open when she came through between her midnight and 2 a.m. classes. So I often woke up to the image of a teenage girl standing in the mirror, looking out at me with her head tipped, like she was confused to see me. Now, there were often girls around, but that night I was completely alone. Campus security had searched the flat for me when I'd gotten home because I'd been having trouble with another student and we didn't lock the flat doors when no one was home. The roommate that always left the bathroom door open had been and gone for the weekend. I'd heard her leave. I knew I was alone. And even if someone else had been in the flat, I could only see a reflection from the angle I was at. I could only see the back of someone's head if they were looking at themselves in the mirror. I made it exactly 44 days before I had enough of uni and dropped out and went back to live on Roger's couch again. Nothing in the uni dorm really hurt slash scared me more than just a vague, I'm not alone and I really should be. A couple years on, moving back to New York, I moved into a three-bedroom flat with Liz, the one from my first story, which we done last week, and another friend who we'll call Jay. When we looked at this flat, nothing seemed out of place. Sure, it was dirty as hell and needed a good scrub before we could move in, but Liz, in brackets, who's a Hellenistic pagan and kitchen witch, didn't feel anything out of place and neither did I. Jay's a skeptic and an atheist, so he doesn't count when it comes to energies. LMAO.
LMAO!
We found a chunk of hematite that had been turned into a magnet stuck to the fridge, and Liz commented that she hoped it was there when we moved in because she thought it was neat. We moved in and the first three nights we stayed on camp beds in the living room. On one side of the living room were big windows that looked out over a convenience store parking lot where we could watch drug deals. In brackets, literally I had a mate walk up to me and go, "Do you live in the house over the road from that place where I buy my weed?" One time, I'm dead serious. Wow, that sounds like an exciting place. I wonder if that's on like the description in the real estate place. Yes. Amazing views, can also witness drug deals, maybe get some yourself. Are fascinating. The other end of the living room had a 10-foot sliding glass door that led into Liz's bedroom, and on the other side of that room was a 12-foot sliding glass door that led out onto the roof of the flat under us. We noticed as soon as we got there that day that the chunk of hematite that had been on the fridge was gone. The first night we were there, I was the furthest from the sliding door, and the highest up on a cot, while the other two were on air mattresses. Late into the night, I don't know exactly when, as we had no clocks yet, in brackets, and I refused to be the "and it was 3 in the morning" drama llama. Very good. A lot of people do say 3 in the morning when they say something spooky happened. Well pointed out, Tony, yes. I woke up and glanced, and that's not to say that that doesn't happen, because, you know, I think it does, but I appreciate what you're saying. Anyway, I woke up and glanced towards the glass doors on instinct. There was just enough light coming in off the street lights that I could see a contorted, bent over, vaguely humanoid shape leaning out around the door frame. It's impossible for me to say how big it was because of the way it was standing, but I can say it took up more of the doorway than my 6-foot tall father did. I blinked and rubbed my eyes a couple of times, trying to decide if I wanted to lose my shirt or if I thought it was just something wandering in because Liz and I hadn't yet warded and claimed the space as ours. I decided not to freak and visualised a brick wall between us and the thing and then went back to sleep. The next night, I was again woken by something and again saw the same shape standing in Liz's bedroom doorway. Again, I pictured my brick wall, figuring it did the job the night before, and went back to sleep. The second day we were in the flat, my father found the chunk of hematite stuck down half inside the baseboard heaters in the living room, literally as far from the fridge as it could get while still being in the flat. We figured it must have been knocked around by workmen who'd been around putting carpets in before we moved in. The third night, I saw the figure in the door and acted the way I did previously, just going back to sleep. That morning, Liz woke up saying, "Wards now," and we salted windows, doors, and warded every opening. Everything was quiet after that, mostly just bumps and things being moved, despite us just having put the thing in its place. And the vague, indescribable feeling of someone watching you or leaning around you to see what you're doing. About a week in, Liz walked into the kitchen and picked up a piece of hematite that was stuck once again to the fridge, and she went, "Oh shit," and packed it in a jar of blessed salt she usually saves for doing rituals with. She took it to her friend who dealt heavily with inhuman entities and entities bound to physical objects. The friend told us it was a minor demon, a succubus, that had been conjured for an unknown reason and bound to the hematite, and that all it really wanted to do was to go back to our flat. Sometimes we'd pick up the jar and it would be burning hot like it was just sat on the stove. So the demon came back and went to live in the cupboard in Liz's bedroom on the condition it left us alone. I was alone one night. Liz was at her mum's and Jay was house-sitting with a friend, and I'd just gotten out of the shower. I was walking across our kitchen towards my bedroom. In brackets, my bedroom, Jay's bedroom and the bathroom were off the kitchen. Like, you had to stand in the bathroom to open the oven. The front door was also in the kitchen. In my bedroom doorway stood Liz, as if she was about to go into my room. I opened my mouth to say hello, and why are you here? And the thing I thought was Liz turned and looked at me and disappeared. I went to the cupboard in Liz's bedroom and went, "Hey buddy, I'll stay out of here if you stay out of my bedroom," and never had another issue with it. A week or so after this incident, Roger, who is an accidental priest, I like that. I wanted to become a plumber, but accidentally I'm a priest. Yeah. Roger, the accidental priest, came over and Liz looked at me and went, "Watch this," and handed Roger the jar. He almost yeeted the thing because apparently the demon didn't like him and the energy coming at him made him sick. He left quickly after touching the jar and never came back to the flat. I'm no longer in contact with Liz and Jay as I moved out of the flat 3 months after moving in, and I've no idea what they did with the jar of salt holding the hematite. I do know that they no longer live in that apartment, and last I knew it was up for rent. Bloody hell, Tony, what is that story about? That's terrifying. A lot of things in there as well which I'm not aware were actual things. You're like, ward, let's ward the place. Hey everybody, let's ward off. It must mean to ward off. Maybe that's where it comes from, yes. Ward off evil, is that an actual thing? I didn't know ward was like a verb, a thing you do. I need to ward the place. Yes, maybe. Ow. Oh, tell you what, this is fun. It's like maybe someone's got a voodoo doll. Is there anyone out there who has a voodoo doll of me? Kindly just place it in a bath or something. Don't drown it, you know, but just put it somewhere nice and relaxing for me because this is not good. Okay, as we said, it's a shorter episode so that I don't die of pain. In the meantime, let's go and have a bit of a midpoint. Just a small one, but a midpoint nonetheless. Hooray! Oh, Esten midpoint and midpoint Esten, mine and Harden, Ven Esten midpoint now. It is now. Okay, guys, I hope that you're all fantastically indubitably well. Don't forget, if you have a scary story to send us, please do send it in. Yes, you need to send it into contact@talkaboutghosts.com. Of course, we've had a lot of interest in the dark episodes that are going to start coming out soon. It's going to be fascinating. And when I say fascinating, I know that sounds quite a big-headed statement to say about a podcast you're doing yourself. But what I mean is, like you will notice as a fan of the show, you know, I do like a good scare, but I also like a good laugh. So the dark episodes are going to be like humor-free. But they don't, you know, they're not going to replace the standard show, obviously. They're going to replace the don't episodes twice a month. And I'm looking forward to them because, you know, at the end of the day, we really all want something. We have to pause and go, I can't listen to it anymore because I need to go to bed. And if I listen to it anymore, I know I'm going to wake up to a 7-foot demon at the end of the bed going, wakey, wakey, go get me a coffee. And nobody needs that. So do send in your stories. We've already had a couple of submissions of people, from people, who say this may be suitable for dark. And yes, they are. So at the same time, just send in, because we still need content for this show. I mean, what I don't want to do is people just to start sending in stuff. This is for dark, this is for dark. This, and this show just ends up me whistling because I can't whistle. I can listen. Well, not very well. Yes, so... as I also stated, my new album, because I'm also a musician, yes, is out in a couple of weeks. It's called A Lightless Body, and there will be another track from that at the end of this episode. And this track will be called... I've forgotten now. Oh, it'll be called Once I Was, which is an alright song, yeah. But it's not a music podcast, it's a ghost podcast. And thank you, Tony, again for the email prior to this midpoint. We'll have Tony's final story next week, yes we will. In the meantime and in between time, guys, let's get out of the midpoint and back into another spooky story, shall we? I think we need to get out of these wet clothes and into a dry martini. Okay, guys, let's listen to more spooky stuff. And we are back. Now, our next email has came in from George McDermott. Yes, he sent a couple of stories, and we're going to read one of them out this week and one out next week. Yes. So George writes, this email is entitled The Shadow and the 3pm Visit. Yes, I think they're the individual titles for the two stories. So he says, hey, Kevin Beck. Hey.
Hi.
Thanks for the regular episodes during the current pandemic. As much as it sucks to be housebound, it's been a great way to be proactive and catch up on house refurbishments. Nearly couldn't say that. That need to be done. On top of that, it's been great binge listening to the show whilst painting, in brackets, and repainting a solid white kitchen over the past 2 weeks. God, that sounds impressive. Whether it's down to the quality of the show, Kev's impressions, or inhaling the paint fumes, it's definitely helped me speed up this monotonous process. I'm going to say right now to you, actually, George, that will definitely be the paint fumes. Especially if you've had that impressions good, yes. Or as Winston Churchill said, I'm joking, I'm not going to do that. So this is George's first story. Before starting, I'm not exactly sure what my stance is on an afterlife or the paranormal. Writing this now and trying to put it into an order of events, I'd say I do believe, after thinking on my own experiences that I can't explain, and the ones I've heard through family members and friends. My mum and dad met at 18 and had me by 19. Their first home together was on the 14th floor of a 15-floor multi. I've attached photos so you can see the actual flat we lived in, as the multis were all demolished throughout the mid-90s. When they first moved in, this would have been around 1988. Hearing their memories of first moving in, when viewing the flat, one of the bedrooms had marks of blood on the walls and ceiling. Guess who was to get that bedroom when they were born a year later? I'm going to put some money on you, Georgie boy. I've asked my mum about this, and apparently at the viewing they did ask, and the person from the council hadn't a clue what had happened prior. Only that a younger person was in there, and they had died. To give you the layout, you would come in the front door, and ahead was a long, narrow lobby, with a cupboard and my bedroom on one side, and a bathroom and my mum and dad's room opposite mine. At the end of the lobby was a glass frosted door that would take you into the living room, which was decorated in that black on white wallpaper that looked like cornrow/cornfield. I think everyone in the UK seemed to have that back then, going by photo albums I've seen over the years. Anyway, the lobby was decorated in the same wallpaper and fitted with a bright red carpet. What I do remember most about living in that flat was a visitor that we'd get. I'm not sure if this was a nightly occurrence, but it did happen a lot, and it would normally consist of me in the lobby playing with my wrestling figures. Then I would hear the handle of my bedroom door moving. The door would open up, and in the door frame would be no one. My mum and dad were both in the living room, and my brothers had not yet been born. The only thing I could see would be the design of the wood chip wallpaper and the shadows against it. Sometimes I'd hear footsteps and sometimes I wouldn't, but what I could always see was a shadow moving. It was person shaped, and it would come to my bedroom door, cross the lobby, and then walk into my mum and dad's room. I never seen a fully formed figure, only its shadow. I just gave them a bell to see if there was anything I'd missed out, and quite a few things apparently. According to my mum, they had a feeling about the house not long after moving in. They'd noticed things being moved, doors would be heard opening and closing in the lobby, and on more than one occasion coming home after being at college all day, they'd find the living room windows were stretched out wide open when neither of them had been home. I don't remember any of this, but apparently the first time my mum seen the shadow was when I was 2 or 3. She said that I was terrified of it, and she can remember me going to the living room door and pushing my face up against the frosted glass to look through, then opening the door to check the lobby and slamming the door straight away. "Fuck off, Manny," was what I apparently said. Bloody hell. On checking the spelling of Manny, I could have been giving abuse to this uninvited spectre or the infamous American rapper, Manny Fresh. Regardless, I don't like either. Fair enough, sir. My mum said she opened the door and seen what looked like the shadow of a man making its way up their hall and then into my bedroom, slamming the door behind him. A few years later, my mum fell pregnant. They decided a bigger place was needed for them and their 2 kids. Not too long later, they'd found a nicer and more spacious place 10 minutes up the road. On their last night in the flat before moving, they got the last of everything sorted and boxed up. And they were woken up during the night to the sound of stomping, and it sounded like it was coming from my room. They ran in and the noise stopped. On the wall were several idents of what looked like someone had been booting it, and some of the carpet had been ripped up. I was sound asleep. That's horrible. Oh my God, that is absolutely horrible. So there's this like shadowy man who goes from room to room, causing absolute mayhem, ripping things up and kicking walls. He sounds like a treat. You might have there, actually, George, you might have already said whereabout in the UK that was on the email, because I tend to read these fresh so that I can give genuine reactions. But you have sent the, you've sent a picture of it. But if you could also send where that was, did you say? Let me have a quick scan through. No, not that I can see. But if you could let me know where that was as well, because I'd be fascinated to know, because that's absolutely terrifying. So thank you, George, for sending that in. We'll have your second story next week. Oh, I also need to apologise as well to one of our Patreons last week. Last week, I read their name out wrong. Their name is... I'm going to say it wrong again, aren't I? I just know, yeah. Their name is... Do you remember? It's Bolkonski. Bolkonski is their name. And I apologise to Mr. or Mrs. or they or their Bolkonski. So there you go. Sorry, Bolkonski. Oh... my back again. Okay, unfortunately, guys, I'm literally going to have to call it a day there. And I'm so sorry that it's a really short episode. However, I've paused this about 4 or 5 times. You may notice some severe edit points within this episode. And that's when I've had a little bit of a spasm. I've had to stop. I've had to go back and I've had to start again. This, to get this, what are we on, like 24 minutes, 23 minutes, 22 minutes. It took me an hour and a half so far. And my body's telling me that I need to go and lie down. So to save this back, nonetheless. So I'm going to go and lie in the bedroom. That sounds more provocative even than it is. I'm going to go and lie in the bedroom and I'm going to ask Becca to bring me the handheld recorder, the new handheld recorder. And we're going to record a Patreon episode together whilst I lie down. In the meantime, I'm so sorry this is short, but I hope you got a freaky spook anyway. And we will be back on Wednesday, hopefully with a fully healed back for another don't, and obviously on Friday too. And the next weekend, we'll make it up to you that this has been short, and we'll have an extra long one next weekend. How does that sound? Very good, says Kevin to himself. And I hope you all agree. In the meantime and in between time, guys, take care of yourselves and each other. Yes, it's Jerry Springer's catchphrase, but you know, who is he nowadays? And I will catch you all through the week, hopefully. I hope that you all stay safe and well. Don't forget, send in your stories if you've got them to contact at talkaboutghosts and I will read them out. That's how it works. If you want to become a Patreon, you go over to patreon.com/we need to talk about ghosts. And I think that's it for this show. So apologies for the shortness of the episode, guys. But right now, as I'm saying these words, I am bent at a 45 degree angle over a chair speaking into the microphone. And this is not sustainable. Yes. Okay, you wonderful people. I'll speak to you through the week. Tatty bye.
I was a good man. Once I was enough for you. Eyeliner, I watch as your perfect line that's how the floor would feel. Voice echoes back to me. Maybe selfishly, I try to close my eyes. Once I was